Take it away, Lucille.
Thank you. Good morning. Is this working?
Yes.
Oh, it's working. I'm very happy to be here this morning. As a Jamaican storyteller, let me just ask a few questions. Let me see the hands of those who have ever been to Jamaica. Oh, yes, I have a hand over there. Very good. Yes, you have gone to Jamaica. All right. But I know you all have heard about Jamaica. It's a beautiful island in the Caribbean, or the West Indies. It's a very mountainous island. It has mountains all the way up to over 7,000 feet, really high. You have the Blue Mountains in Portland and St. Andrew. You see, Jamaica is divided in parishes. And over there in Jamaica, you have rivers. These are undulating mountains, and then you have rivers meandering all the way down to the sea, vast expanse of beautiful white sands. It's beautiful. Then you have good food and the music and all of that. People love to vacation there. Right now, my oldest son is there with his wife vacationing. They left yesterday. It's really nice down there. But before, in years ago, you know, when Jamaica was, say, under slavery, British colony, and things like that, things used to be really hard there. So today, I have brought a few artifacts, a few of the things that we usually used back there in Jamaica many years ago. And before I get to these things, I usually like to encourage our boys and girls to let them know that it doesn't matter where they are today, but if they have that determination and that courage and that strength, they can achieve anything in life. They can reach anywhere in life they want to reach. Personally, I was grown up in a little country area with my mom and dad. My daddy used to be a farmer, and my mom, a housewife, stayed home. 12 children. I got to take time and say that, because that's a whole lot of kids, you know? Yes, a whole lot of kids. Yes. Come on in, folks. Jamaican storytelling time. And, of course, I was in the middle. And so life wasn't as our boys and girls have it today. You know, they have all the nice things in Nintendo, the TV, the this, everything nice. We never had those luxuries back there. We had life differently. And I'll give you a little example. For example, we never had to advertise things. When we do storytelling, we got to, like my grandma, my auntie, or grandparents, they maybe beat the drum. Story time. And you find the kids, we're coming over to meet under the guango tree. Or if it's raining and cloudy, we may meet on the veranda. That's what we call the porch here today. But that kind of thing, and the kids come and they were looking forward to story time, because that's the recreation they had then. That's what we had. And back there, the houses used to have zinc roof. So when it rains, you would hear something like this. The rain coming down on the roof. And that tells us that we could not meet under the guango tree outside for story. We had to go on the veranda because rain coming down. And so when we settle down there and they begin to tell us stories, you would find they tell us different kind of stories of what happened long ago. And sometimes they tell us stories about ghosts. And we believe it then, you know. And when they tell us about ghost stories, we got to do everything we had to do outside, because we're not going back outside. We get scared. And if you see the little leaf shaking there, you jump. Because maybe that's what they're telling us. That's one of them coming over there. So we got to do everything and get ready, you know, that when the story time is finished, we're ready to go to bed. Okay. Now, way back there, I don't know, maybe one person or two maybe was around back there in the early 40s when they had the war going on. And I was a little girl. And I in the night, we would listen and hear someone passing through with a lantern like this and saying, "Blackout tonight, blackout tonight, put out your light, put out your light." And although my mother had little baby, she got to turn off the light, and it wasn't electric light. It was lamp. A lamp. You take this off, you had a wick in it, and you put some kerosene oil in it, and then you cover it, and you light it, and this was the lamp. We had a shade lamp maybe in the bedroom with kerosene oil in it and a shade. But to move around in the house, to go to the kitchen was outside, the bathroom was outside, and you got to have a lamp. And although it was a little light, we got to and put out the light. Because what happened, the airplanes were flying over, and any light would reveal where people were. So we got to turn off the light. And then maybe about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, he would come back again with and said, "All clear, put on your light. All clear, put on your light." So our parents, they could strike a matches and light the lamp again, maybe take care of the baby, change the baby's diaper, and things like that. You saw those were some days back there. And from there, okay, for story again, another thing, it wasn't like this, but maybe a little one like this, they could to tell a story time, because not everyone had a drum, but they could make a little shaker like this, and this would tell the children that it's time for story. Now, for school, boys and girls, I feel good. I see you in uniform. We used to wear uniform to school. The boys wear khaki pants and khaki shirt. K-H-A-K-I, boys. Am I spelling that correctly? K-H-A-K-I, khaki. The boys used to wear khaki pants and khaki shirt. And the girls used to wear white blouse and blue skirts. And those skirts, they have to be starched and ironed. They starch them, and when they're ready, they damp and iron. And for ironing, as I said before, we never had any electricity. So we had a stove. We call this a stove. And we put charcoal in it and light it. And the ashes come down through here. And we put 4 of this in it, iron. It's heavy, but we put 4 in the charcoal in the stove. And when that is heated, we would take that out and clean it off. And a piece of crocus, or burlap, we call it now, and use this to iron our uniform. And our uniform had to be well done. Well done. Or else we got to go back and do it over. That's how life was back there. Not like today. And then, after that is done, say the tailor. That's the gentleman who makes the pants and the jacket and the coat and all those suits. To make life a little easier for him, he used to have an iron like this. They call this the self-heater iron. Anyone has ever seen something like this? Oh, you have? Okay. And you? Very good. They open it up like this, and they put charcoal inside, and then they light the charcoal, they close it, and you have a little opening here that air goes in to keep the charcoal going, and the ashes would come out through these holes. And this is what they usually use to iron. Wow. I see somebody back there looking with them all open. You see the difference back there from today. Yes. And then for cooking our meals, we had a fire lighting. If the fire's in the kitchen, or the fire could be outside, but my father, they used to have fireplace, but not like the elaborate thing you have today. It used to be inside the kitchen, and they have wood and put some 2 pieces of iron across, and they use a pot and iron pot like this to cook the food in. Now this one is so old, you can imagine, I can see my face through it. See how old this one is. But this is like what we usually use, and it has these two ears and a piece of wire that they can lift it off, and three legs to stand up. So you see that life back there was quite different from what it is today. Today you have everything inside, everything nice and dandy and so on. However, boys and girls, it doesn't matter, as I've said before, where you are, where you were, where you are, you can reach anywhere you want to go in life. Because although I was grown up in an environment like that, when I left that environment, I went to high school and I went to college. We have the Michael Teachers College in Kingston, Jamaica. I went there, was trained as a classroom teacher. After many years in the classroom, I did some more studies and became an administrator, principal for the school. And then I came to this country and I went back to school. I went to Barry University. I became a counselor. I did a bachelor's degree. I did a master's degree. I started a doctoral degree. Boys and girls, are you hearing me? You can reach anywhere you want to reach in life. There's no limit. The sky is your limit. Don't allow anyone to tell you, oh, that is for those other people over there. Oh, no, you can't do this or you can't do that. You can reach anywhere you want to reach in life. So set your goal high and aim high, and you will reach your goal. But you have got to start from now. Start from down here to be diligent with your books. Read. When other people wasting time, grab a book and read something. Ask questions. How did this come about? Where can I go from this? How can I handle this? Go to your teacher. They have answers. And if they don't have the answer ready for you, they will look up the answer and have it ready for the next class. Ask your mom, ask your dad, ask grandma, grandpa. But there's always answers. And you can become that special person. You believe me, boys and girls? Yes. And mom and your teacher will tell you the same thing. You can become that special person that you want. Okay, I don't have a lot of time left. I'm going to tell you a short story. They used to tell us stories about Anansi, Brother Rabbit, Brother Tukuma, Brother Dryhead, Brother Piece of Foot, etc., etc. I'm going to tell you a little story about Brother Anansi. Brother Anansi was very clever. And Anansi is a type of spider. And you know, spider lives up there in the roof, about up there, and you take something and you try to get them out. But Brother Anansi had the form of a human being. So he had a wife, and he had three children. He had two girls and a boy. He had a big girl. Let me see who is a big girl in here. Okay, see a big young lady back there with the cap on her head. He had a big girl. And then he had a boy. Maybe like this young man right here. And then he had a little girl. Oh, here's a little girl back there. Okay. So it was hard time. Hard time in Jamaica. Dry. There wasn't rain for a long time. And all the apples and the mangoes and the bananas, everything, oranges, were gone. And so the little girl went to daddy and she started to cry. She said, Pa, Pa, I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Pa. I haven't had any breakfast. Daddy and Nancy felt so bad, you know. He said, I am the man in this house. And the husband and the father, I shouldn't be able to provide for my children. And so he said to himself, what am I going to do? And he sat down with his head and his hand, and he started to think. And he thought and thought until he thought. He took up his stick and started to walk down the street. Let me use this as a walking stick. And while he was going on the street, he was whistling. Going down the street. And as he walked down the street, there was a clump of bush. And he looked. And when he looked under the bush, guess what he saw? He saw a pretty little pot. And he took up the
girls, eight of that family, eight that his little children were home on. However, he put it under his coat and he was very happy and he started going home. And when he got home, he said, my wife, look at what I see. Look at what I found, my wife. Shake the table, my wife, shake the table. And quick time, Mrs. Nancy set the table. She put a plate for Brother Nancy. She put one for herself, one for the big girl, one for the son, the boy, and one for the little girl. And the table was well set. And Brother Nancy started to dance around the table. Say, yeah, they know how to jump in for Erica. When you have a thing, you know, but ching-chang-ching, come on, they can ching-chang-ching, ching-chang-ching, ching-chang-ching. He was so happy. And then he went to the pot. And he said, what a pretty icky pot. The pot said, my name is not Little Pot. And Nancy said, so what is your name? The pot said, my name is Fouillet. And Nancy said, so Fouillet, Michi. And again, the pot filled up with food, good food, colored chicken. Woo! You could eat some. And so Mrs. Anansi dished out the food and put it in the plate. And the children said their grace. They gave thanks for this food because they have never had this type of meal in a long time. And they sat down and eat. When they were finished eating, Brother Nancy took up the pot and he put it under the table. And he said, my children, I put the pot on the table. Don't touch the pot. No, Pa. That's what the children answered. No, they said they wouldn't touch it. He pulled the sheet down and covered. And he said, I want you to stay here. I am going down the road to call my friends so that they can come and get some good food to eat. And so he started going down the street. Guess what? The moment Brother Nancy turned his back and went down the street, the big girl said to the other two, let us take out Pa's pot and see if we can get food. And the little one said, no, Pa said, don't touch the pot. We must be obedient. Don't touch the pot, please. She said, Pa not here. Pa won't see. And so she took out the pot. And she did her thing. What a pretty little pot. The pot answered, my name is not Pretty Little Pot. So the girl said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Fouillet. She said, Fouillet, let us see. And when the pot filled up with food again, the girl went next door and she called her friends. And they came over and they ate and ate. And what they couldn't eat, they put it in a little dish and they hid it in the corner. And this is what happened. That same big girl that disobeyed daddy's instruction took the pot outside where they had a drum with some water and she washed the pot. Put it back. By then, here comes Brother Nancy with Brother Tokuma, Brother Dryhead, Brother Piece of Foot, all his friends them. And he said, I told you that I have a pot that can give us nice food to eat. Sit down, gentlemen. My wife set the table for my friends. So they all sat down. And Mrs. Anansi come ready. And Brother Anansi took out the pot. And he looked at the pot and he did a little dance. And then he said, what a pretty yicky pot. Pot didn't answer. He said again, what a pretty yicky pot. No answer. He started feeling bad. He said, what a pretty yicky pot. No answer. Brother Nancy said, somebody touched my pot. Somebody, which of you children touched the pot? Big girl said, it wasn't me. The little one said, the boy, I didn't touch. Who touched my pot? Nobody owned up. And Brother Nancy was so embarrassed. Because all his friends were there ready to eat, nothing to eat, and they started to laugh at him. I know you are a miser. You just want to show off yourself. Where's the food? Where's the food you're telling Mary? Brother Nancy felt bad, and they started to leave. Brother Nancy thought and thought, what am I going to do? And so he went down that same path. Listen, boys and girls. He went down the same path he went before. And when he got down there, and he looked under the same clump of bush, he saw a pretty little whip. And he took out the whip, and he said,
what a pretty yicky whip.
The whip said,
my name is not Pretty Little Whip.
And Nancy said,
so what is your name?
And the whip said,
my name is B12.
So Anansi said, beat yet, Missy. The whip turned and brought Anansi.
Fight, 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 fight. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Anansi, oh, stop, stop, stop.
And the whip kept on. Fight, fight, fight. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. All over, brother Anansi. The whip beat the beat. Ah, brother. Finally, the whip dropped. Brother Anansi was just breathing. And he started brushing off his hand. And brush off his clothes, and he said, no, I know what I'm going to do. I know. And he started on his way. And when he got home, he called up his children and said, children, children, come. I have something here. Hey, you see this witty whip? I'm going to put it under the bed. Please don't touch it. No, Pa. No, Pa. Please don't touch it. Put it under the bed, and he went down the street walking. No sooner than Brother Anansi turned the corner, that same big girl who determined to be disobedient went and took up the whip. She said, yes, this is indeed a pretty little whip. What a pretty icky whip. The whip answered,
my name is not Pretty Little Whip.
The girl said, what is your name? The whip said,
my name is B12.
And the girl said, so beat, let me see. Boys and girls, that whip turned on her.
And it beat her. Bye, 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 bye. Ooh, bye, bye. Over her back, shoulder. She cried, she cried. She said, please stop, stop. I know, I'm disobedient. And I'm going to be obedient. Please stop. Bye, 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 bow, bow. Ooh, stop, stop. Finally, the whip dropped.
She was just breathing. Her hands were bruised, and she said, I'm so sorry I disobeyed my parent. I disobeyed my daddy. Look at the wails on my hand. I will not. Just then, Brother Anansi walked up. Uh-huh. Oh, so you are the culprit. You big girl. You are the culprit. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I am sorry to disobey you. I have learned my lesson. I will never disobey my parents. And Daddy, when I go to school, I'm going to listen to my teacher. I'm not going to disobey my teacher again. I am sorry, Daddy. Sorry. Will you please forgive me? But when Brother Anansi looked at the tears and the wails, he said, yes. I'm glad that you earn your yes. You must always be obedient to your parents, your teachers, and those who are over you. And this is the end of the story. Jack Mandora may not choose no more. Thank you. Thank you. Boys and girls, I hope you have learned the lesson. What is the lesson? Who can tell me? Yes, young man. Huh? Good. Anybody else? Yes. Exactly. Yes. Obey your parents. Yes. That's right. Don't be disobedient. So the lesson is to be obedient. Obedient. Listen to your parents. Listen to your teacher. And follow their direction. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Any questions? Anybody has any question? Yes.